It says the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. Now, those of you who are listening, you have sown good seed into your field. You have spoken the word, and I hope you have. I hope you're doing this. I hope you're doing the word, not only listening to what teachers are telling you, but you're doing it in your own home and in your own life. But here the man sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares. Now, Darren, this word tares is darnel, and it means weed that looks like wheat. So he's sowing weeds into our minds, weeds of accusations and threats and frivolous lawsuits that we might believe it.
Well, you notice that when the enemy attacked was when they weren't paying attention.
That's right.
Now, you can't say you're paying attention when you're asleep, right?
That's right.
So it's really, in a sense, is very devious behind your back. He came in and sowed these tares in the field, right in with the good. And then the master there says, now don't try to take the tares out. Now wait until harvest time. Wait until harvest time, and that's when you declare that your harvest is free of assault. Now, not when it's growing. And many times I've seen farmers that one year they had sunflowers growing, and the next year they planted corn. But some of those sunflower seeds had escaped. And right in the corn, here was this sunflower growing up. Well, now, probably it won't hurt the cows to eat sunflower along with the corn. So, you know, when they go through and cut the corn, why, they're cutting down the sunflowers too. But also, in northeastern Colorado, I know we've had a problem with Canadian thistle. And some of these plants come in, and when they start growing up, they inoculate the soil from allowing anything else to produce, sometimes several feet around them. You talk about an example of the devil. That's an example. That Canadian thistle must be right out of hell.
Well, and I believe that Jesus is saying right here, and it's Jesus telling this story, Darren, that we shouldn't pay attention to that devil. Some people are every day of their life are talking about the devil. The devil did this, the devil did that. This must be an attack of the devil. And their whole focus is on Satan and what he's doing. And here Jesus said, you bear fruit. Ignore him. He's been defeated. You bear fruit, and your good fruit is going to come up. The angels are going to reap that awful weed, those accusations. They're going to take up those tares and burn them, but your fruit's going to remain. So don't stop bearing fruit and just dwell on the evil. You've got to bear fruit in the persecution and the tribulation as
and
well.
This scripture, Matthew 13, says they're not going to do that until harvest time.
That's right.
Well, at harvest time, we need to get all the liens and encumbrances and the problems and the false charges released from our stuff. And we'll talk more about that. But I want to tell you what my passion is for teaching this. All my life, I've been a tither, with the exception of a very short period of time. You know, I was so discouraged that I just stopped giving. Well, later on, I repented. And that wasn't for a very long period of time. But I had been really, really, really whacked. Well, that's not a defense, but that's what happened. I asked God's forgiveness, 1 John 1:9, got back on the track in terms of the giving. But I've watched, Barbara, and I've been promised so many times over radio, over television, in church services, in revival services, seminars. If you give, God's going to bless you 30, 60, or 100-fold. Well, to be real honest with you, I haven't seen that in other people's lives. I mean, rarely have I seen that. And it has not happened for me. And I think it's a time that we need to say, as teachers and prophets of the word and ministers of the gospel, when are we going to be concerned about the people's harvest?
Well, I think you've gotten part harvest. I think the Lord's brought me into your life, and that's part harvest.
You sure it's not a tear?
Oh, come on.
No, you have been a great blessing. And, you know, I don't know where the ministry would be without you, Barb. And I love you dearly.
No,
and
I'm teasing.
No, but I'm serious. Yes, you have been a great addition. And thank you for mentioning that. It's a little self-serving, but I'm glad you brought that up.
Sometimes I feel like harvest doesn't always come in the money with the money signs.
It's complete harvest.
Yes, it's a complete harvest. That's right.
But the bottom line is, if we don't have the foundational goods to go on, you know, I don't care what culture you're in, what time, how many, whether you're in the 1700s or the 1900s or the 2000s or the 1400s, I mean, you have to have a way to support yourself. And if you don't have, and the devil's whole game plan is to starve you out. And many cultures have disappeared. In fact, I think about I was born in Durango, Colorado, not very far from the Cliff Dwellers. Well, the Anastasis, they call them now, are the Apaches. They're trying to figure out why such a large population just evaporated. Well, they've gone to tree rings. They've gone to all kinds of things. They're trying to say, what happened, you know? And it looks like there was a great drought. Mm. Well, a drought will, in time, starve you out if you can't grow your crops.
Yes.
Well, evidently, that was the reason why they moved out. And they were an awesome population of people. A whole tribe left. They just abandoned the area and took off. Well, there's a reason for that. But you know, the devil comes, and through his deceit and deception, he wants to, through psychological warfare, and if we don't cast down those evil imaginations, and the scripture for that is, Barb, what?
That's 2 Corinthians 10:5.
You have to fight those evil imaginations that come in and say, you're a loser, you're a zero, your crop will never come up, you're going to starve, you're going to be, you know, going to look like a fool. What are you doing? It's this Jesus stuff. You know, the devil always comes against us, and he is trying to sow tares or discouragement in our lives and to make us give up.
That's right, and that's why we have to say, I am the child of the one and only Almighty God. Satan, you get out of here, because his righteousness is in me, and according to 2 Corinthians 5:29, I am becoming the righteousness of God in Christ. We've got to stand up to him and say that, because he really is, Darren, he's an illusion. He's like a lion. He's like a roaring lion, but he's not. He's a wimp. And even in, I believe it's in Isaiah 14, when we actually are going to see Satan, we're going to say, is that the wimp that caused men to tremble?
Well, his main deal is deception. I got to tell you that, folks. But if we go back into Genesis at the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, God says, I want you to rule, subdue, and dominate what I've just created. Well, then in Genesis 8:22, God makes a fabulous promise to us. He said, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, hot and cold, winter and summer shall not cease. Well, why don't we stop and say for a minute, okay, Lord, where is the harvest? And then if we jump over to the New Testament, it says in Galatians 6:7, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Now, I believe, Barbara, when we allow our harvest to be stolen, or we don't recognize it, or we don't stand for it, we don't demand it and insist that we have a harvest because we have planted, or we don't find out why we don't have a harvest, and that's part of the reason for this lesson today, is say, this is why we haven't had a harvest, and this is how we can turn around and get our harvest. I believe we allow our God to be mocked. And I think that's a tragic thing. The other day, I was so moved on this that I said to the Lord, I don't ever want to be in a situation where my sowing has produced a mockery to you when I should have stood for harvest, and I just blew it off and let it go. Well, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith or without substance or without a title deed, it's impossible to please God. For you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to be found diligent. I want to make real sure of that. Then in 1 John 5:14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have before him. Now, you could say in the court. Okay, if I stand before God in his courtroom, this is the confidence I have before him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. He'll hear my case. If he hears me, I know that I have those requests I've made of him. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, how much better can it get? And in Numbers 23, it says, God is not a man that he should lie.
If he's going to do it, he's going to do it. He's good for it. He really is. That's what it says in essence.
Now, if we move over to Mark 10:27, he says, now with men it's impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Then, of course, he says in that famous scripture, Mark 11:23, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and here's the key, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him.
That's right. And the perseverance of watching for our harvest is this confession, Darren. He does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he said is going to come to pass. That is so important, that our confession during this time of waiting for the harvest or the birthing or whatever we're waiting for, that perseverance is the confession of our faith, and we need to do it every day, every day. If his mercies are new every day, as it says in Lamentations 3:21, then our confession must be new every day.
Well, let's check this out. In Psalm 89:34, it says, my covenant I will not violate. Now, you see, he says, I've given you the power to make wealth to confirm the covenant. Okay, make wealth, that'd have to be harvest. My covenant I will not